Good morning.
I feel like these tables are a little misleading, like we're going to like have brunch or something, but we can only dream. So happy to see you all here this morning. And so thankful for the 80 degree sunshine that we get. But did you know it's going to be 58 again on Saturday? So make sure you get to sit outside at some point today and just soak it all in and build up our reserves because it's temporary. Well, we're going to get started with some worship, and then Deborah is going to be speaking to us this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for those little gifts that you give us. But Lord, we thank you for loving us, Lord. Just sometimes I'm just so in awe that you would choose me and that you would love me despite all of my flaws, Lord, all of the ugliness that creeps into my heart, Father, and that you have chosen me and you have called me to be closer to you. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning and that we would leave here just so reminded of how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's stand to our feet.
Here's to the one who made the morning bright. Here's to the one who taught the stars to shine. Here's to the one who graced the dead of night. Pull me from the dark, set my heart alight. Here's to the one who made my heart to sing, opened up my eyes, washed away my sin. Here's to the one who gave his life for mine, broke all my chains and set me free, all right. To the way, whoa, to the truth, whoa, to the life I live and the light you give. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. Here's to all the things that your love has done. Here's to the way you wiped away my past. Here's to the future and the things to come. Here's to my Savior's everlasting love. To the way, whoa, to the truth, whoa, to the life I live and the light you give. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. Here's to your kindness. Here's to your kindness. Here's to your goodness. Here's to your freedom. Here's to the day I see you, Jesus. Here's to your glory. Here's to your greatness. Here's to your kingdom. Here's to the name of Jesus. To the way, whoa, to the truth, whoa, to the life I live and the light you give. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. To the way, whoa, to the truth, whoa, to the life I live and the light you give. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. Jesus, here's to your name over everything.
Oh.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Let's sing that again. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Yeah, you give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. One more time. Yeah, you give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Amen. We're going to sing our scripture song now. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's sing that one more time. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being here, God. We worship you. We lift you up, Lord. We put you at the center of it all. Continue to be glorified as we meet, as we hear from you, God. And in your name we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys find someone you haven't said hi to yet? Give them a hug.
I love hearing all the chatter and the smiles and the happiness that's in this room today. And I lift all you ladies up that your hearts will be open to the message today. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you today. Amen. Okay, well, I love this chapter because it's got babies in it. But first, I wanted to just go back to, as we transition into chapter 2. Chapter 2 starts with a therefore, so that's a bridge word. And Peter's finished up with chapter 1, saying that we must purify our hearts before God. So My message today is knowing God and making him known to others. So the first six verses are knowing God, and the second half is making him known to others. So I went to Mexico for a week. I missed our first lesson. I was thinking about you, and I felt badly about not being here. But a friend of mine invited me to go for a week with her to her timeshare. And I pushed back on it. I didn't want to go. It was probably my first time traveling without Gary, and I felt weak and helpless. But I said yes. She nagged me, and I said yes. So my friend Diane and I met exactly 40 years ago in March of 1983. My husband and I had moved down to Southern California. He accepted a job, and so we were busy house hunting, and all that was settled, and getting ready to move into our new house. So I had my little three-year-old boy with me, and I was always had a routine. We were living in Newport waiting for a house to be ready for us. So I would come up into Mission Viejo. I brought my stepdaughters here to school, drop them off, and then Aaron and I would go to McDonald's as a treat. So I walked into McDonald's, and I noticed this other woman there with her three-year-old. And you know how we are, making friends. Like, she has a three-year-old. I have a three-year-old. She was pregnant. I was pregnant. She was 7 months pregnant. I was 7 months pregnant. She lived in my neighborhood. So naturally, I just felt like it was God-given, even though at the time, neither one of us were walking with God. But that's how God works. He works way before we know him, right? So he set up this friendship for us. And sadly, we had to move away from our neighborhood about 9 years later because we both went through very difficult divorces. And so we parted company, but we still kept in touch, sent Christmas cards, and talked on the phone once in a while. But I'm going to leave that story there for a moment, and we'll go into our word. So I'm going to read to you chapter 2, verse 1, Act 2, verse 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy and envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So Peter starts out, first of all, by saying that we have to rid ourselves, we have to throw off all the things in our life that keep us separated from God. God is perfect, and he can't be around evil. And so if we are to prepare ourselves in the presence of God, we have to examine our hearts. We have to look at and confess our sins before God. We should do that every time we pray to him, confess our sins. And then after that, he talks about babies and milk. And even if you have never had a baby, you've probably held a baby in your arms. And you know that right out of the womb, they crave that milk that has already been prepared by God in the mother. And so they can root and look for it. And it's just a very wonderful experience that God has given us to be able to nurture our babies with the most perfect food that they need. They don't need anything else but that milk that comes forth. And so it is with us too. We crave spiritual milk. Now, babies are almost OCD about their milk because if they don't get it, they start screaming and you hear about it. And if we've forgotten to feed them in the beginning, I don't know, maybe some of you have forgotten to feed or just don't want to go back in there. It's every 2 or 3 hours that we have to do this. And so I don't know, how many of you are getting up in the morning and craving and screaming for the Word of God? Maybe not too many. I know I don't always, but the older I get, the more I love to start out my day with Scripture. And if I do that, it's the best part of my day, and it actually sets the pace for my day from there on. So let's move on. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you are the living stones, built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You ladies all walked in the doors this morning, and you're not stones, you're not pebbles, you are gems, because you come here to be fed. And with you, you bring your special gifts. We all come together in this building, and we support one another. We are all different colors of gems. We have different gifts, and we need to use them. And this is called building up God's house. I walked in here this morning into this room, and it was dark, and it was empty, and it was cold. And all those tables had been set up out there, but there was no warmth in the room. I feel the warmth now. I saw how you greeted one another after the songs that we sang. And you are truly the warmth of God that comes into this room when you come here to study his word. So he goes on to say, for in scripture it says, I see a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. That cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And Peter's audience was new Christians who were being persecuted because of their faith. Remember, Jesus was rejected and he hung on a cross because people didn't want to hear his message. And so Peter's audience had to be encouraged by his words. Don't give up just because you're rejected by people. It's more important to hold the word of God in your heart and to show who you are. Verse 7, so now you who believe, this stone is precious, but those who do not believe, this stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them to fall. This is an important verse coming up. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. To me, that sounds really harsh, to look at people as stumbling and not getting God and being judged by that. But then I was reminded that we are all like that before we came to know Jesus. We were all his stumbling stones. We were full of depravity. We were full of gossip and jealousy and Facebook and all the other things that take us away from God. And so I think as he's saying this, he's telling us not to throw away people that aren't believers yet. God's not done with anybody until they breathe their last breath. So we have to approach this with an attitude of love to people that we want to hate or people we want to disregard because they're not part of our in-group in church. And we've also got to be careful of that as we're in church, even sitting in church, that we make ourselves welcome and make ourselves open to welcome others into the church, maybe people that have been coming for weeks and haven't hooked up with a friend. And yet they come in every week and see these little cliques sitting here and there and everywhere. So we have to keep that in mind. On Tuesday morning, I was in my car and I was listening to Dave give his message. And it was the perfect tie-in to this thought. And it's from Colossians 4. And it says, be wise in the way you act to outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So just keep that in mind. So as I was visiting with my friend Diane in Mexico, she knew that I was a Christian. She kept mentioning it, you know, oh, you're just religious, you're full of Jesus, and I hadn't really talked that much about her, but I think she just got that idea. And then she brought up a question to me. She said, first of all, her friends had been on Facebook, Christian friends, and they were talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And then she started asking me, how would God feel about her son who is gay? How would he feel about her? She said, it just doesn't seem right that God wouldn't accept him as he is. And I said to her, God loves everyone, and he wants everyone to come to him, no matter what you are, black, white, gay, whatever, that we have to take the opportunity to open those doors and not in any way appear judgmental towards people. Potential believers, people like the woman at the well that Jesus sat down with, he didn't disregard her. You, however, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. As I read that passage, I thought of a really important question for me and maybe for all of you. Who was the person or the people that called you out of your darkness and into his wonderful light? I can think of one person already, immediately, a woman who used to run the women's ministry many, many years ago, Betty Holderman. And she recently passed away a couple weeks ago. But she was definitely a woman after God's heart. She had cancer, and she fought it for 6 or 7 years. They moved to North Carolina, so they moved out of the area. But Betty has always been on my mind because she was just one of those women who was able to show me the way when I was a young Christian. And so I told her. My idea was to call her and tell her. And she was absolutely shocked that I would have that to say to her, that she had influenced me in my walk. You don't know who you're going to surprise when you go back in your mind and you have that conversation with people. They need to hear. They need to hear that God is working in your life, that in the beginning you had a little influence over them. That's so important. So I probably missed half of what I wanted to say today, but we're down to verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So the good deeds shine through us in many ways. When Lady today mentioned the Beatitudes, if we think of the Beatitudes, how that is an intake of Scripture, and then will shine out towards others. And another one is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness. When you see someone going through a difficult time, a difficult trial, which was one of our questions a couple of weeks ago, do you see just sadness in them, or do you see light radiating through them? So, in the end, Diane and I parted good friends. We were definitely had revived our friendship, and she wants to invite me to come with her again. I didn't preach to her. I didn't tell her too much. I more or less let her see how I was handling my life. And I gave her lots of encouragement that there is a God in heaven that sees everyone. And he is part of who he created. She's part of who he created. And as our creator, he expects us to turn towards him with the word. This is our nourishment. This is how we get to know God. And so I hope that as you go and return to your groups, you will, as living stones, examine what your gifts are and share them with others. Pray with others. One of the things I remember now was that as we confess our sins, we have to clear out our minds, and we do that. That's a sacrifice to God. It's humiliating and it's humbling. But we all have sins, and we sin every day. But anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for coming, and that it's really important for us to, first of all, get to know God and then share God and Jesus with others. Thank you.